All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a closer look at a case, well, a situation, I guess, that should have every law student out there on the edge of their seats.
Definitely a real nail biter.
It all boils down to this. Let's say the cops, they've got an arrest warrant for some guy, right?
Okay.
But they think he's holed up at your place.
Uh-huh.
Can they just, like, waltz right in?
Oh, good question.
You know, without needing to get, like, a separate search warrant just for your place.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly the kind of sticky situation the Supreme Court had to sort out back in 1981 in a case called Stiegold v. United States.
Right. Stiegold. A big one for sure.
Big one, yeah. And believe me, the answer has some serious implications for how we understand the Fourth Amendment, especially when it comes to the, you know, sanctity of our homes.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
The Fourth Amendment, that's our bedrock protection against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Bedrock, exactly.
And Stiegold really digs deep into that whole concept of what's reasonable when it comes to law enforcement entering a private home.
It is a deep dive. So to really get into the nitty-gritty here, I think we need to set the scene, take it back to, like, the beginning of the story.
Absolutely. Context is key. Let's paint the picture.
All right, so picture this. Atlanta, Georgia, 1978.
Okay.
DEA agents, they're on the hunt for this fugitive named Ricky Lyons.
Lyons, what'd he do?
Drug offenses, apparently.
Ah, okay.
So they've got a warrant out for his arrest, standard procedure.
Gotcha.
Now, they get this tip. You know how these things go. Sometimes reliable, sometimes not so much.
Right, right. Those anonymous tips, always a bit iffy.
This tip says Lyons is hanging out at this address, right?
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, the address belongs to another guy entirely, Gary Stiegold.
Stiegold. Okay, so we got Lyons the fugitive and Stiegold the homeowner.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. The agents, they decide, hey, we've got this arrest warrant for Lyons. That should be good enough to get us into Stiegold's place, right? We'll just look around for Lyons while we're there.
Ooh, now hold on a second. That sounds a little presumptuous, doesn't it? Like, they didn't have a warrant to search Stiegold's house. Just an arrest warrant for Lyons.
You got it. That's the heart of the issue. They didn't bother getting a separate search warrant for Stiegold's home.
So they just barge right in.
Pretty much. They figure, hey, Lyons is a fugitive. We're just doing our job trying to track him down.
I see. But still, breaking into someone's home, that's a pretty big deal.
Huge. A major intrusion. And, you know, to add another layer of complexity here, guess what? They don't even find Lyons.
Oh, so Lyons isn't even there.
Nope. Not a trace.
Wow. So what happens then? They just apologize for the inconvenience and leave.
Not exactly. You see, while they're searching Stiegold's place for Lyons, they come across something else entirely.
But what did they find?
Cocaine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Big problem for Stiegold. And based solely on that cocaine they found during this warrantless search, Stiegold ends up getting arrested and convicted on federal drug charges.
Wow. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So wait, they searched his place without a warrant? Didn't find the guy they were looking for, but found drugs instead, and he's the one who gets in trouble.
You got it.
That's got to be frustrating.
You think? I mean, the guy's probably thinking, hold on a minute. You had a warrant for Lyons, not for my house. You can't just come in here and rummage through my stuff.
Yeah, totally. That's like a textbook violation of his Fourth Amendment rights.
Exactly. And that's precisely the argument Stiegold makes. He's basically saying, this whole search was illegal. You violated my right to privacy in my own home.
Makes sense. So what did the court say about that?
Well, here's where it gets interesting. Initially, the lower courts weren't all on the same page. Some sided with Stiegold, others with the government.
Oh, so there was like a split in the legal opinions.
Exactly, a split among the different federal appeals courts, creating this sort of legal tug of war. And when you've got different courts interpreting the Constitution in different ways, well, that's a recipe for confusion.
Definitely. Sounds like a classic case for the Supreme Court to step in and settle the score.
You got it. And that's exactly what happened. The Supreme Court decided to take on Stiegold to resolve this conflict and provide some much-needed clarity on this crucial Fourth Amendment issue.
So this case really boils down to that fundamental tension between the need to protect individual privacy, especially in the home, and the need for law enforcement to do their job, right?
You nailed it. It's that constant balancing act. Individual liberty versus the power of the state. And Stiegold forces us to ask, you know, where do we draw the line? When does the government's authority to search for a suspect trump an individual's right to privacy in their own home?
Big questions for sure.
Huge. So with all that in mind, let's get to the Supreme Court's decision. What did they decide in this legal showdown?
Okay, so the Supreme Court, in a majority opinion written by Justice Thurgood Marshall, came down firmly on the side of Stiegold.
They did. So they agreed that his Fourth Amendment rights have been violated.
They did indeed. The court's holding was pretty clear-cut. An arrest warrant for one person by itself does not give law enforcement the green light to enter and search the home of a third party.
So just having an arrest warrant for Lyons wasn't enough to justify searching Stiegold's place.
Exactly. They needed more than that. They needed a search warrant specifically for Stiegold's home.
So in this case, the DEA agents, they were out of line.
According to the Supreme Court, yes.
So what was their reasoning? Why such a hard line on this?
Well, the court was really emphasizing that an arrest warrant and a search warrant, they're two different beasts. They serve different purposes and have different constitutional implications.
Okay, I'm following. Break it down for us.
An arrest warrant, that's about a person. It gives the police the authority to arrest that specific person, to take them into custody. It's all about protecting against unlawful seizure of an individual. But it doesn't inherently give them the right to search just any place where they think that person might be.
So even if they think Lyons is hiding in Stiegold's house, that doesn't mean they can just barge in and start looking around.
Exactly. That's where the search warrant comes in. A search warrant is about a place, specific location. It gives law enforcement the authority to search that particular place for evidence of a crime or for a specific person.
Got it. And to get a search warrant, they need to go through a specific process, right?
Absolutely. They need to show a judge that they have probable cause.
Probable cause, meaning?
Meaning they have a reasonable belief based on solid facts that a crime has been committed at that location or that evidence related to a crime is present there. And that judge, that neutral third party, they review the evidence and decide if there's enough justification to issue the warrant.
Okay, so it's like a check and balance system. The judge is there to make sure the cops aren't just barging into people's homes on a whim.
Exactly. It's a crucial safeguard against potential abuse.
So applying that to Stiegold's case, the agents needed to convince a judge that they had probable cause to believe Lyons was specifically hiding in Stiegold's home and then get a warrant to search the place.
That's right. Just having an arrest warrant for Lyons and a hunch that he might be at Stiegold's wasn't enough. They needed a separate search warrant for Stiegold's home.
That makes sense. So the arrest warrant for Lyons gave them the power to arrest Lyons, but not to search Stiegold's house.
Exactly. They're separate things, separate protections under the Fourth Amendment.
It's about making sure the government isn't overstepping its bounds, right?
Yeah.
Protecting individuals from unwarranted intrusion.
Absolutely. It's about respecting the sanctity of the home, that fundamental idea that a person's home is their castle. You can't just come bursting in without proper justification and legal authorization.
Now, you mentioned earlier that Justice Marshall wrote the majority opinion in this case. Did he have anything particularly insightful to say about this distinction between an arrest warrant and a search warrant?
Oh, definitely. Justice Marshall was very clear in emphasizing that the arrest warrant for Lyons did nothing to protect Stiegold's privacy.
Powerful words. So the warrant protected Lyons from unreasonable seizure, but it didn't give the agents carte blanche to trample on Stiegold's right to privacy in his own home.
You got it. And this whole idea actually builds on another important case the court decided just a year earlier, Peyton v. New York.
Peyton v. New York, I've heard of that one. What's the connection?
Well, Peyton established the rule that police could enter a suspect's own home to execute an arrest warrant, as long as they had probable cause to believe the suspect was inside.
So they could go into the suspect's house, but not someone else's house.
Right. The reasoning there was that the arrest warrant itself was already judicial authorization to seize the suspect, and entering their home to make the arrest was a necessary, though limited, intrusion.
But Stiegold takes that a step further.
Yes. Stiegold clarifies that this logic in Peyton does not apply to third-party homes. In other words, just because you have a warrant for someone and you think they might be at someone else's house, that doesn't give you the right to search that other person's house.
So Stiegold draws a really clear line in the sand. An arrest warrant for someone doesn't give you a free pass to search someone else's home. You need a search warrant specifically for that location.
Exactly. It's a powerful reinforcement of the Fourth Amendment's protection of the home.
Now, I'm imagining the government probably wasn't too happy about this ruling. Didn't they argue that this would make it harder for law enforcement to do their job?
Oh, they absolutely did.
Yeah.
They argued that requiring a separate search warrant in these kinds of situations would create a lot of extra hassle and delay for law enforcement.
So they're basically saying this is going to make it harder to catch criminals.
That was their argument. They claimed it would be too inconvenient and burdensome.
But the court wasn't swayed.
Not at all. They were pretty adamant that the Fourth Amendment's protections aren't optional.
Wow. So convenience for law enforcement doesn't trump the fundamental right to privacy in one's home.
Exactly. Justice Marshall put it very bluntly. The Fourth Amendment's restraints are not optional.
Pretty strong words. The court was sending a clear message.
They were. They were basically saying that the potential inconvenience to law enforcement doesn't outweigh the fundamental right to privacy in the home.
The Fourth Amendment is there to protect us from government overreach, even if it makes things a little tougher for law enforcement sometimes.
Right. It's about striking that balance.
Now, I know Supreme Court decisions often have dissenting opinions. Were there any justices who disagreed with the majority in Stigold?
Yes, there was a dissenting opinion written by Justice Rehnquist, joined by Justice White.
So what was their argument? Why did they think the court got it wrong?
Well, their main point was that if the police have a valid arrest warrant and they have good reason to believe the suspect is inside a particular dwelling, that should be enough to allow them to enter and arrest the fugitive.
So they're saying the arrest warrant coupled with probable cause that the person is inside should be enough.
Right. They thought requiring a separate search warrant would just add unnecessary hurdles for law enforcement.
I see their point.
They were worried that this ruling would make it too easy for fugitives to escape justice by hiding out in someone else's house.
So they were prioritizing the need to apprehend criminals over the privacy interests of the homeowner.
You could say that. They saw the warrant requirement as a potential impediment to effective law enforcement.
Interesting. So it sounds like a classic debate about balancing individual rights with the needs of law enforcement.
Definitely. These are the kinds of tough questions that the court often has to grapple with.
Now, were there any concurring opinions, any justices who agreed with the outcome but maybe wanted to add their own spin on things?
Yes. Chief Justice Berger wrote a concurring opinion.
Okay, so he agreed that a search warrant was needed in this case.
Yes, he did. But he really wanted to stress the importance of judicial oversight in protecting Fourth Amendment rights.
Judicial oversight meaning?
Meaning having a judge review the evidence and make the call about whether there's enough justification for a search.
Right, that whole check and balance system we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. He believed that the warrant requirement was crucial for preventing abuse by law enforcement.
So even though he agreed with the outcome, he wanted to highlight that extra layer of protection for individual rights.
Precisely. He was very much a proponent of judicial review as a safeguard against government overreach.
All right, so to wrap things up here, let's bring it all back to our listeners, especially the aspiring legal eagles out there. What's the big takeaway from Stigold? What's the key legal principle that it establishes?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. An arrest warrant alone is not enough to authorize the police to search the home of a third party. If they want to do that, they generally need to get a separate search warrant based on probable cause that the person they're looking for is actually inside that specific home.
And that search warrant needs to be approved by a judge.
Exactly. That judicial oversight is key.
So it's all about protecting the homeowner's Fourth Amendment rights, making sure their home isn't subject to unreasonable searches.
Precisely. It's about respecting the sanctity of the home and making sure the government isn't overstepping its bounds.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there are some exceptions to this rule, right? Like consent and exigent circumstances.
Oh, right. Those are important nuances. So if the homeowner voluntarily consents to the search, then the police don't need a warrant.
Makes sense. It's their house. They can allow who they want in.
Exactly. And then there's the concept of exigent circumstances.
Exigent circumstances. That sounds serious.
It is. It basically means there's some kind of emergency situation that requires immediate action, like a risk of danger or destruction of evidence.
So if there's like a hostage situation or they think someone's about to destroy evidence, they can go in without a warrant?
Potentially, yes. But those situations are pretty limited and have to meet very specific legal requirements.
Okay, so the bar is pretty high for those exceptions. It's not just any old excuse.
Definitely not. The court has been very clear that exceptions to the warrant requirement should be narrow and carefully applied.
So in most cases, if the cops want to search a third party's home, they're going to need to get that search warrant.
That's the bottom line. Stigold makes that crystal clear.
All right, so that about wraps up our deep dive into Stiegold v. United States, a landmark case that has had a lasting impact on Fourth Amendment law.
Oh, absolutely. It's a cornerstone of our understanding of the right to privacy in the home.
It reinforces that firm line at the entrance to the house that Justice Marshall talked about.
Exactly. It sets a clear boundary that the government can't cross without proper justification and legal authorization.
And it shows just how important those Fourth Amendment protections are, even when it comes to pursuing fugitives.
No doubt about it. It's a reminder that the Constitution is there to protect all of us, even those accused of crimes.
All right, so as we sign off here, I want to leave our listeners with a little something to chew on, a question to ponder as they go about their day.
I like it. A little food for thought.
We talked about those exigent circumstances, exceptions to the warrant requirement, right? Situations where immediate action is needed. Well, what kinds of situations do you think would truly justify a warrantless entry into a third party's home, even if the cops only have an arrest warrant for someone they believe is inside? What kind of emergency would be serious enough to outweigh that homeowner's right to privacy? It's a complex question with no easy answers.
Definitely something to think about. There's always that tension between protecting individual rights and ensuring public safety.
Exactly. And Stiegold provides a framework for navigating those complex issues, for finding that balance between liberty and security.
It's a case that every law student should know inside and out.
Absolutely. It's a foundational case for understanding the Fourth Amendment and the limits on government power. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.